This is the case of Egan versus Lancaster County. Good morning to everyone. Council, when you are not arguing, please keep your masks on. When you are arguing, please take your mask off so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. As you can see, five members of the court are here present today. Two members of the court, Justice Miller Lerman and Justice Funk, are on WebEx. Do any council have questions before we begin? Thank you very much, then. Mr. Barton, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I am Gregory Barton, appearing on behalf of the appellants, E.J. Egan and Janice Howard. This case arises out of an administrative appeal from a decision of the Lancaster County Board of Commissioners to grant a special use permit to a novice, Randy Essig, to operate a large poultry production facility consisting of four barns housing 190,000 chickens at a time.
You referred to Mr. Egan as a novice. What relevance does that have to zoning ordinances?
Well, we think it's relevant under the provision of County Zoning Regulation, Article 13.0002, that mandates in evaluating an application for special use permit consideration of the general health, safety, and welfare of the people in the area.
So your argument then would be that someone experienced would have to apply for one of these special permits?
Well, someone who was at least contractually bound to have the kind of help one would need if one has no experience whatsoever in raising chickens in any amount, let alone 190,000 at a time. The evidence below was undisputed.
Before you go on, can I take you back to 13.002, which you mentioned?
Sure.
It says that the Planning Commission shall hold a public hearing and shall consider the effect of such proposed building or uses upon the character, and you mentioned the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, public utility facilities, comprehensive plan, and other matters relating to the public health, safety, and general welfare. So all I read that to say is that they have to consider these things. It doesn't, do they have to do something more than that in order to grant the special use permit?
Well, it's our position, Your Honor, respectfully, that the condition, if given at all, was inadequate to evaluate the general health, safety, and welfare of that area. Now, one of the things that the district court didn't deal with was the character of the neighborhood. When that area was first, that district was first zoned ag back in the 70s. Well, in 2019, when the application was filed, that district had changed. Now, Janice Hallett testified without rebuttal that when she moved to her home that's a half mile away from the proposed site, there were seven residences in the area. As of the time of trial, in August of 2019, there were 90 residences in the area. And we think that changed the character over time from ag to a mixed ag and residential.
So, how are we to interpret or take into consideration, if at all, what appears to be part of the zoning regulations that say the ag district, the AG district, is designated for agricultural use and is intended to encourage a vigorous agricultural industry throughout the county and to preserve and protect agricultural production by limiting urban sprawl as typified by urban or acreage development. Doesn't that give some preference to agriculture?
Well, I can see why the court would read it that way. But nobody in the county prevented that urban sprawl from occurring from the 70s to 2019 in the area. Those folks already lived there. And notwithstanding Lancaster County's understandable preference for supporting ag, which I submit is natural in Nebraska, they don't just let people go out and build large confined livestock.
Wasn't the preference that people don't go out and build acreages and subdivision developments in agriculturally zoned areas?
That may have been the case originally, Judge, but there's 90 homes out there now. And they were there long before the applications for a special use permit was filed by Mr. Essen. And as someone who is only a half mile away from the proposed site, that causes grave concerns for Janice Howlett and her husband, who already suffers from over a decade of breathing issues.
The district court, in its orders, specifically said that it considered the impact on the neighborhood. Can we not take the court at its word?
I read the opinion more times than I can count, Your Honor. I don't know how the district court considered it. Judge Nelson didn't say, I considered this and this and this. She said, I considered that. And the reason that she was, I think, leaned towards the impact would be acceptable if it was there at all, was because of this supposed, albeit non-existent, contractual relationship between Lincoln Premium Poultry and Mr. Essen. The judge herself specifically found that Mr. Essen would have access to all the highest tech and training from through a contract with LPP. As of today, there's still no contract. There was no contract before the board. There was no contract before the court. Mr. Essen committed a trial 11 months after the board voted to approve the special use permit, but he had still, to that day, never even seen an LPP grower's contract. Now, both the LPP representative and Mr. Essen testified as to their intention to have a long-term contractual relationship, but they don't. And the evidence bore that out, that trial. LPP didn't feel contractually bound to Mr. Essen when they started sending him threatening letters in May and June of 2019, telling him he was taking too long and they were going to pull the plug and give his slot in the growers network to someone else.
Does whether or not he gets a special use permit through this proceeding have any effect on LPP's wanting to move forward?
Well, as I read the correspondence, and if I remember right, Judge, I think that was Exhibit 9, their concern was more the construction. They were behind schedule on building, because as we all will recall, that was a year of the major floods before we have the year of COVID. So their network was already out of whack. and they needed to get up to speed, because the whole purpose of that network is to provide chickens to the Costco poultry processing facility in Fremont. Costco's their only customer. So there had been a way around for him. He hadn't presented any documentation that he had the financing in place, any of the things that they were requiring of him. So they obviously didn't think they had any contractual obligation to Mr. Essig 6-7 months after the proceedings before the board.
Before your time expires, would you care to address the standing of your client here?
Well, Judge, we recognize in our standing argument, we were asking to extend the already expanded exception to the injury in fact requirement with respect to Ms. Egan. Because...
In other words, you're saying you acknowledge it does not, your client does not fall within the same circumstances as in Thompson versus Hyman.
Well, yes, it does not fall within the same circumstances as Thompson versus Hyman, and I would concede that. But it has to do with a matter of public interest. It has to do with proper countywide application of the county zoning regulations.
So does someone from Cherry County have standing to challenge the regulations?
In Lancaster County?
Yes.
No, Your Honor. They're not residents and taxpayers of Lancaster County.
So does someone from Waverly have standing to challenge the regulations?
I would say you get so far out, you can't possibly have any be impacted in any way.
So, and Ms. Egan's not far enough away? Is that your argument?
Well, she lives in the same general vicinity, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I see I'm out of time. If there's any questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Glassman, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. Justices, may it please the court. Steve Glassman from Matson Ricketts Law Firm with my partner Joe Wilkins, representing the appellee in this case, Randy Essig. This appeal was filed by Ms. Egan and Ms. Howland as an appeal under this court's opinion in In re Holman. As such, the district court held a trial de novo with both the very extensive underlying record and live testimony, adopted findings of fact, and issued a 10-page order finding that Mr. Essig's application for a commercial feedlot not only met but exceeded the criteria for approval set forth in the Lancaster County zoning regulations.
What is the criteria for approval of a special?
Well, there's two sections. Just one of them is 13.035, which is, says you need either have approval from NDEE or NDEQ, as they say in the regulations. And then there's the general standard 13.002, which offers guidance for all special use permits. And I would agree with the representation that that is just things to be considered, and it is not specific criteria. It's general considerations to be considered. And I wanted to get dive down a little bit onto the standard of review, because I think that the appellants in their briefing really gloss over the standard of review. The standard of review is that the findings of the district court shall have the effect of a jury verdict, and the court's judgment will not be set aside by an appellate court unless the court's factual findings are clearly erroneous. This court, just a few years ago in Lohman versus State Farm, went another level and said a jury's verdict may not be set aside unless clearly wrong. A jury verdict is sufficient if there is competent evidence presented to the jury where it could find for the successful party. And what at the bottom line, I believe that the appellants are, what they're asking this court to do is to reweigh the evidence. And under the statute or under the standard review from Omer, we don't believe that it is proper for this court to reweigh the evidence that's out there. We believe that the district court you know, it was very clear that the district judge not only reviewed, again, there were, I think, two hearings in front of the planning commission, Lincoln-Lancaster County Planning Commission, a hearing in front of the county board. All of that was offered as record evidence. The district court spent a day and a half listening to live testimony from both proponents and opponents of the application, including both of the plaintiffs in this case. And the district court then noted that there were two different regulations that were issued, 13.035, which was considered, and then the 13.002, the general guidance. And the district court specifically noted in the last page of the order that all of those factors were considered, that the district court chose to accept the facts as set forth by Mr. Essink and what the district court described as his team of experts. And more importantly, I think that even the team of experts is the district court also looked at other independent witnesses that were called either at the trial or at the administrative level. There was Thomas Sitchka, who was the county planner, who testified both and authored a memo, and he said that the application met all of Lancaster County zoning criteria, which sort of, in my opinion, might be game, set, and match. And he testified at trial, but he also noted that there were three independent agencies that were consulted about the application. One was the Department of Natural, or Nebraska Department of Energy and Environment, and they're charged with regulating waste in this state and protecting the quality of land and water. And they were contacted the Lower Platte South Natural Resources District, which has also has jurisdiction over water, and then the Lincoln-Lancaster County Health Department, which is a separate agency from Lancaster County itself. They were all consulted, and none of them raised any concerns about the operation. And it was interesting to me to hear the discussion about whether why there wasn't a contract, and I did happen to hold emails that are back and forth between Mr. Essink and Lincoln Cream and Poultry LPP. And the irony here is he's talking about getting a lender. Mr. Essink is in an email. This is exhibit number 9, and it's page 5. Talking about getting financing, he says they will not give a letter of approval or a date. We can start construction until the lawsuits against me are over. And then Lincoln Premium Poultry responds, we are willing to hold a slot until the outcome of the lawsuit. So I think it's clear that that's why there was not a final contract in this case. It was a question, the Chief Justice read the intent of the Ag District, and we would agree that the intent of that district is very clear from the wording. It's intended to encourage a vigorous agricultural industry. And if Lancaster County, they have a comprehensive plan that they need to update, and they can update the zoning regulations. If this district was no longer considered an ag district, they had the opportunity to change that district. They have not done so. That regulation is controlling it. That is
Mr. Mossman, you may have answered, or just answered the question, but does it appear that the county has essentially abandoned that commitment to agriculture by letting all of the development take place anyway? And does that fit into this argument, or is that weighing evidence?
We don't think it does, right? What you didn't hear is some of those houses are in Chilean County. This is right near the county line. We don't believe that, we would think that if you're looking at what is allowed in a zoning district, that zoning district has to change the intent, and that zoning district has not changed, and there's no, and I don't believe there's been any sign of error that there's been any waiver of the zoning district conditions. And in addition to that, you know, individuals have a chance to petition the county to change the district they're in if they don't think that this was applicable.
I beg your pardon. If I understand this, there hasn't been any recent change to the zoning character, technically. Is that right?
That is, well, the zoning district itself has not changed. This is still the general ag district in Lancaster.
To what extent does the nature of the zoning have an impact on the standing of these two individuals in that they're, whatever, 10 or 12 miles apart. Given the zoning such as it is, does Hewlett have a injury in fact and Egan may not have an injury in fact or something to that effect?
Jess, I don't think there's any question that Egan would not have an injury in fact. She's located 10 or 12 miles. She testified at trial that she was not the regulations as they were, but she thought the regulations should be different. And so under her direct testimony, the location where she lives in, she certainly doesn't have an injury in fact. And we don't believe that this court should extend the taxpayer exception in that circumstances, which would just open it up to basically anybody in the county. And there's a statute involving illegal actions under the zoning regulations, which certainly doesn't apply here. That does give taxpayer standing, but this was a very, very contentious process through the Planning Commission, through the County Board, and there's no claim that there's any.
That statute would apply.
I beg your pardon. Did you believe that Hewlett did have injury, in fact, given the geographic proximity?
We did not challenge Howlett on standing, Your Honor, but we obviously don't believe that she actually has. She meets the criteria for standing. This court has said that nearby or adjacent landowners have standing in zoning jurisdictions. We're not challenging the earlier holdings of this. I think that was in the East Groves case. We're not challenging her standing, but we don't believe that she suffered any injury. What we heard it, and this goes to property values, and property values are not a specific general factor listed under 13.002, and that's where a lot of the appellant's brief is located on. She said that she had a concern about her property value. That is a fact. Concern is not a fact. There were no facts presented. The district court found that there was no credible expert testimony presented about any effects on the value of property or on health. I would submit that there was no facts presented at all. Say that I'm concerned about my property being devalued and not presenting facts on that. And they certainly could have hired an appraiser, did whatever, came into trial and tried to present that fact, but there were no facts. And that's very different from the Darnell Ranch and the Livingston appeals for Turk cases. Darnell Ranch based the external depreciation on evidence that was before Turk from earlier proceeding, earlier court of appeals opinion. And the same clinics, and there's an appraiser in that case. So we think that this court correctly analyzed the factors, considered the evidence, and under this court standard of review, this decision should stand. Did you have a?
You saw where I was going, and you covered it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal, so that concludes arguments in regard to Egan versus Lancaster County, Nebraska. Council, please, as you're leaving the courtroom, observe social distancing and wear those masks if at all possible. And please leave by the side door as I face you to my left. Thank you very much.